Today's reading is 1 Corinthians 9. I'm going to read from verse 12 to 27. That's 9:57 in the Church Bible. 9:57. Nevertheless, we have not made use of this right, but we endure anything. Rather than put an obstacle in the way of the gospel of Christ, do you not know that those who are employed in the temple service get their food from the temple, and those who serve at the altar share in the sacrificial offerings in the same way? The Lord commanded that those who proclaim the gospel should get their living by the gospel. But I have made no use of any of these rights, nor am I writing these things to secure any such provision, for I would rather die than have anyone deprive me of my ground for boasting. For if I preach the gospel, that gives me no ground for boasting, for necessity is laid upon me. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel, for if I do this of my own will, I have a reward. But not of my own will, I am still entrusted with stewardship, that then in my reward, that in my preaching I may present the gospel free of charge, as not as to make full use of the right of the gospel. For though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win more of them. To the Jews I became a Jew, in order to win Jews. To those under the law I became as one under the law, though not being myself under the law, that I may win those under the law. In those outside the law, I became as one outside the law, not being outside the law of God, but under the law of Christ, that I may win those outside the law. To the weak I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share with them in his blessings. Do you know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive perishable wealth, but we are imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself will be disqualified.
Eunice, thanks very much for reading the passage for us. And if I've not met you before, I want to say hello to you. My name's Joel. I'm one of the pastors here. And do come and speak to me after the service. I'd love to meet you, to get to know you. And I thought we will start today's service with a quiz. Okay, and here's the quiz. The quiz is, as a Christian, do I have the right to ... Okay, so you need to fill in. If the answer is yes, just nod your head. If the answer is no, just give it a shake. Okay, here's the first question. As a Christian, do I have to decide on what I want to eat? Okay. As a Christian, do I have the right to decide whether or not I should worship idols? Okay, that's probably a no. Yeah, definitely a no. As a Christian, do I have the right to decide what to spend on? Do I have the right to decide between secular work or working for a church? Do I have a right to decide whether to be honest at work? The hesitation there, Felix. Here's the next question. Do I have the right to decide who I want to marry? Mm-hmm. Okay. Do I have to decide how to define marriage? Yep, that's not. We do not have the right. Do I have the right to decide what success looks like for my children? Okay, some nods, some yes. Okay. Final question. Do I have the right to decide whether or not to wear flip-flops while preaching on a Sunday? Yes or no? Okay, some yes or no. I better change out, okay? And the answer is probably not. Maybe I do have the right, but maybe it's not the best thing. And that's really the question that we're thinking about today. How should we use our God-given freedoms as a Christians? You know, there are some things that the Bible does say very explicitly that we should not do. Do not worship other idols. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not covet. Or what is your neighbor's? How to think about marriage. Do not have sex outside marriage. Marriage is reserved for men and women. Boundaries that the Bible sets for us. But then within those boundaries, we have a lot of Christian freedom. What do you do for work? Who you should marry? How do you spend your time? How do you spend your money? How do we organize church? A lot of Christian freedom within those boundaries. But also because there is freedom, it also introduces complexity. How do you decide what should you do? Is this right or is this wrong? Even when things are gray, what is the right decision to make? Who should I marry? How should I raise my children? Should I take this job or take this promotion or not? How should I spend my money? How should we use our God-given freedoms? So that is the question we are thinking about today. And the surprising answer that we see in our passage that Paul gives us, it is to be a Paul. Be a Paul. I wonder what comes to mind when I say be a Paul. You may think the musician, or the actor, or the footballer, or even the octopus. But not those Pauls, but Paul the Apostle. I look at chapter 11, verse 1. Just flip the page in your Bibles, chapter 11, verse 1. Paul says, be imitators of me. Be imitators of me, for I am of Christ. And again, when Eunice was reading the passage for us, you may have noticed how many times Paul speaks about himself. Chapter 9, verse 15. But I have made no use. Verse 16, if I preach the gospel. Verse 17, if I do this of my own will. Verse 18, that in my preaching I may present the gospel. Verse 19, I am free. Verse 20, to the Jews I became a Jew. Verse 21, I became outside the law. You get the point. Paul is speaking extensively about himself in our passage today. And all by way of saying, to imitate me, to be like me. Why does he do so? Again, if you've just joined us over the past couple of weeks, you know we're back in the series in 1 Corinthians, and the presenting issue in chapters 8, running all the way to chapter 10, is of the topic of food and idolatry. And the church, the Corinthian church, they rightly thought that they had the right to eat food, even though it's been offered to idols, whenever it's sold in the marketplace, they have the right to eat. In fact, Paul himself would also eat food that was offered to idols in the marketplace. But in some cases, he wouldn't. In some cases, Paul, he wouldn't. Exactly when would he do so? Paul would go on to help us to think about these things in more specific ways. But as with other issues in 1 Corinthians, whenever there's a big issue, chapters 8 all the way to 10, the central chapter is the key theological heart, if you like, of the section in chapter 9. And in our passage today, well, we come to the central chapter in this section. And Paul, what does he do? He holds himself up as an example. To be like me, Paul says. Think like me. And so Paul says, yes, there is Christian freedom in many things. Some things you cannot do, but within the boundaries, there is Christian freedom in many things. But rather than using your freedom for yourself, Paul would say, use your freedom for the salvation of others. Use your freedom for the salvation of others. If you're following the handout, just at the back of the service sheet, we're there on the first point. Well, use our freedom, that's our headline for today, for the salvation of others. And firstly, by giving up your rights so that the gospel is unhindered. I look at verse 12. Nevertheless, we have not made use of this right, but we endure anything rather than put an obstacle in the way of the gospel of Christ. Do you not know that those who are employed in temple service get their food from the temple, and those who serve at the altar share in the sacrificial offerings? In the same way, the Lord commanded that those who proclaim the gospel should get their living by the gospel. But I have made no use of any of these rights, nor am I writing these things to secure any such provision. Again, if you were with us last week, we had a topic about money, how we should think about money. And the point that Paul makes quite clearly that Christian workers, they have the right to be paid. And Paul argues from common sense, from the law, the Mosaic law, from the Levitical practice, and also from Jesus. But you notice what Paul says here? I do not use this right. I do not use this right. And what Paul goes on to say next is really interesting, because Paul, he has a particular situation that he's experiencing. I look at verse 16. For if I preach the gospel, that gives me no grounds for boasting, for necessity is laid upon me. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. For I do this on my own will, I have a reward, but if it's not of my own will, I am still entrusted with a stewardship. Do you see what Paul is saying? He has the freedom to receive money from the churches that he ministers to, but he has no freedom to be a preacher of the gospel. Paul is not like myself or Andrew or Johnny or Julia. We have the freedom to decide to be Christian workers, to be in secular work or to be working for the church. Johnny, he could become an engineer. Andrew will probably become a lecturer in the university. And perhaps those occupations were more financially rewarding, and they freely chose to work for the church. But not Paul. Not Paul, you see, verse 16. For if I preach the gospel, that gives me no ground for boasting, for necessity is laid upon me. Paul, when he speaks there, he's recounting his Damascus Road experience. In Acts chapter 9, you might remember where Paul is on the road to Damascus. And it starts with this really interesting description of Paul. Paul was still breathing murderous threats against Christians and against the Lord. Paul was on the way to Jerusalem to find Christians to persecute them. And then what happened? There's a bright light flashed in the sky, and he met the risen Lord Jesus, and a voice said from heaven, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And what does the Lord do? And he says to Paul, you will be my chosen instrument to be a proclaimer to the Gentiles and the nations. And so Paul has no right. He met the risen Lord Jesus himself. He had an obligation to preach the gospel to many. But he has the right. He has freedom, whether or not to get paid. Verse 18. What then is my reward? That in my preaching I may present the gospel free of charge, so as not to make full use of my right in the gospel. What did you notice the pun that Paul was making? The word reward there is the same word as wage. And so Paul says that in my preaching, what then is my wage? That in my preaching I may present the gospel for free. Paul's wage is to present a free gospel. His wage is having no wages. And Paul, he really means it. He really means it. He wants an unhindered access for the gospel. Verse 12. We have not made use of this right, but we endure anything rather than put an obstacle in the way of the gospel of Christ. It's worth mentioning that this decision that Paul is making to have an unhindered access to the gospel, to not taking a wage, was particular to the Corinthian church. Paul would be quite happy to receive support from other churches, like the church in Philippi. But in Corinth, in the first century Corinth, there's a big practice of, Andrew mentioned last week, where speakers, Greek speakers and orators would receive a wage from wealthy patrons. They would pay their wage, and they would be the mouthpiece of these wealthy patrons. And so Paul is making a decision to not be like that, to show that he's not in it for the money. Because that's the situation in Corinth, Paul specifically chooses not to take a wage so as not to put any obstacle on the gospel. And so what does he do? He works with his hands. As many of us know, Paul, he's a tent maker. He makes tents so that he can present the gospel free of charge without a wage. And so how do we use our God-given freedoms? Paul says, use it for the freedom, for the salvation of others, by giving up your rights so that the gospel is unhindered. And as a church, we sort of try to think about this when it comes to money, and we seek to work this out. But giving, as we thought about last week, is an important part of being a Christian. But again, if it's worth stating, if you are new, and I'm conscious that a few new people join us today, we don't want your money. We're not here to grow our bank balance. We're not here to take money from people. We want to present the gospel free of charge so that people can hear and believe in him. But as individuals, more broadly, how do we apply this principle? How do we give up our rights for the sake of others? How do we decide how we think about money, our work, our time, or things about church? Speaking personally for a moment, I'm a real beneficiary of someone thinking about giving up the rights about how to spend the money for me. Some of you have heard my sort of personal testimony before. So growing up, I was in a Christian family. But there was a period of time in my teenage years where I didn't really care about Christian things. And my dear sister, who was a really sort of mature Christian, she thought it would be a really good idea to decide to spend money on me. And so she said, I got into road cycling about maybe 10 plus years ago, and she said to me, Joel, I will buy you a pair of Oakley sunglasses if you join the Bible study group when I started university. I'm very cheap. I was easily bought. So I was like, great deal, right? So I went to university. I joined Bible study, not because I was interested in the Bible, but because I wanted a pair of sunglasses. And it was really a turning point for me. And part of the reason why I'm here today is because of my sister. She decided how to use her money for the sake of the gospel. And so how about you? Again, you have the right to decide how you like to spend your money. Spending yourself, or to spend on others. But could you buy someone coffee, a colleague, a friend, a neighbor? Could you pay for someone's lunch to share the good news of Jesus with them? Or at work, again, you have the right to decide whether you work from home or work in the office. But for those who have the privilege of working from home and maybe spend all the time at home, if you have the choice, why not spend a day or two in the office so as to meet some colleagues, to get to know them in order to share your life with them. Again, in the family, and a couple of young families here, again, you, in one sense, you have the right to decide what success looks like for your children. Again, instead of demanding academic success 100%, why not demand a bit less, but desire for them to grow up in the Lord? And at church here as well, speaking to regulars, for a moment. Again, we have the right to decide when you come here to Sunday service, not to serve, not to speak to others, to speak to your friends, and leave right away. But what I'm really encouraged is the lots of many of you, which I know well, that you do not exercise those rights. I see Richard and PK always on the welcome team, missing the first part of service to welcome people in, giving up the right to be in the service. Lots of people in Sunday school and crash are giving up their rights to listen to the service and spending time up there serving the children so that parents can be here to listen. People on the PA team or on the setup team or the musician team coming early, giving the right to sleep in to serve others as well. And again, my encouragement to all of you who serve in many ways is to keep doing. Be like Paul, as Paul says, imitate me. So how should we use our God-given freedoms? Paul says, do it for the sake of the gospel. Give up your rights so that the gospel will be unhindered. But secondly, Paul goes, he goes a bit further. Not just giving up your rights, but Paul goes on to say to make yourself a servant to all, in order to win more for Christ. Look at verse 19. For though I'm free of all, I've made myself a servant to all, that I might win more of them. To the Jews, I became as a Jew in order to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became as one under the law, not myself being under the law, that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law, I became as one outside the law, not being outside the law of God, but under the law of Christ, that I might win those outside the law. To the weak, I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. The phrase "all things to all people," I think, has taken on sort of a new meaning in our society today. Often people understand that for someone to be a people pleaser, someone who is spineless, who doesn't have courage, like a spineless politician. But this is opposite from what Paul means. Paul, he is not spineless. He is courageous. He stands up against wrong. He rebukes the Apostle Peter when he's out of line. He stands up against the Roman officials to speak the truth. And he speaks to an angry mob. Paul is not a people pleaser or someone who is spineless. And so Paul doesn't mean that we should be completely or totally flexible, flexing to every single one. In fact, come back next week, where Paul talks about an area that we should not be flexible at all in, the area of idolatry. But what he does mean, within the boundaries, Paul will go as far as possible to identify with the other person in order to save them. Verse 20, to the Jew, I became as a Jew in order to win Jews. Many of you know Timothy, who is Paul's protege, was traveling him around the Mediterranean, sharing the gospel with other people. Timothy, he was of mixed heritage. He has a sort of Jewish and a non-Jewish parents. And for Timothy, he was not circumcised. But when they were reaching out to the Jews, Paul and Timothy made the decision for Timothy to go under the knife so that the Jews would not be stumbled. Sometimes, becoming someone to all people, it hurts. It costs Timothy. Verse 21. To those outside the law, I became as one outside the law. Not being outside the law of God, but under the law of Christ, that I might win those outside the law. Paul is not becoming a murderer to a murderer, but within the boundaries, he is willing to flex. Those outside refers to the Gentiles. He eats with them. For Jews, they would not eat with other Gentiles, but for Paul, he'll be ready to eat with them. And this comes back to the issue of eating, for eating and idolatry. For the Corinthian church, one of the reasons why they wanted to eat food offered to idols previously was because they wanted a burger. They just wanted to fill their tummies. But for Paul, his reason, to win people for the Lord Jesus. There's also the reason why he doesn't eat. Verse 22, to the weak, I became weak, that I might win the weak. Again, this ties into the wider context of chapters 8 to 10. The reason why he doesn't eat, so as to serve the weaker. See, the Corinthian church, they think that Paul, he doesn't eat because he doesn't know that he's totally free. But for Paul, all he's thinking about is his brothers and his sisters for their salvation. And so what does Paul do? He lowers himself. He becomes a servant to all, to the Jews, to the Greeks, to all those. He lowers himself for their sake. Verse 23, I do it all for the sake of the gospel that I may share with them. It's a very striking point, I think. It's a very challenging point as well. See, in the previous point, Paul, he's sort of giving up his rights. But in this point here, he's going further beyond his rights. His entire orientation to his life is to serve others for the sake of the gospel. And again, at church, well, there's some things that are not flexible. There's some things that are outside the boundaries. We will always be sitting under the authority of Scripture. We will always sit under the necessity of Scripture. There are biblical principles to organize a church. But within those boundaries, there are some things that are flexible. We want to make things as accessible to as many people as possible. The language that we use, the words that we choose, the songs that we sing. We want it to be accessible as possible to as many people. I may like to wear flip-flops to church, but I wouldn't, because it may be discouraging or stumbling to others. And again, if you're new joining us for the first time, I hope you find Grace Church accessible and warm, something that you can enjoy to listen in, so that the gospel goes and is heard well by you. And how about thinking about your own personal evangelism for a moment? How do you kind of go become all men to all people in order to save others? I once had a story about someone older who was serving on a youth camp, and he was being a driver, driving lots of the kids from point to point. And on a drive for 4 hours with a van full of teenage girls, he had listened 4 hours to Taylor Swift. It must have been possibly excruciating for him. But in that way, becoming all men to all people, serving them by listening to the Swifties. But also here, some of us would know PQ herself, lived in Israel for a number of years when she was working there. And she's got a real heart for Jewish people to be saved. And some of you would know she travels there occasionally, fairly frequently. She speaks language. She sleeps in a bunker, sometimes at risk of her own life, in order to share the gospel with people. And so there are countless examples as we can think. How can we flex? Be like other people. Be like those who are not like us in order for them to share in the blessings. Maybe the Lunar New Year is one of them. Maybe Lunar New Year is not something that you celebrate at all, and that's the last thing in your mind to celebrate. But maybe you do know someone who does celebrate. That could be something for you to flex, to come along for the celebration, to participate in something that you cannot imagine yourself participating in. But knowing someone who does, you are flexing for the sake of the gospel that he or she may share in the blessings. Again, other ways we can think about this, hobbies that you can be involved in to reach out to others. Tom over there, you may think that he's just brains, but he's not. He's more than just brains because he also practices jiu-jitsu. And in many ways, being involved in jiu-jitsu class, he's reaching out to other people there, speaking to people in those classes. So think of ways. Are there ways that you can flex, be different to other people, be like other people in order to share the gospel with them? And so Paul says, well, use your freedom for others by making yourself a servant to all. Well, how do we do it? Well, thirdly and more briefly, Paul says, do it like an athlete. Do it like an athlete. In verse 24, the example that Paul uses is an example of a runner. But for those who know me quite well, I'm not much of a runner. I'm much more of a cyclist. And at the risk of derailing the entire sermon, let me tell you all about professional cycling. Okay. The key metric in professional cycling is watts per kilogram. Watts per kilogram. Watts is the amount of power they put out as you stomp on the pedals. Kilograms is your weight. And when you're going uphill, the key metric is how much power you can put out and how light are you as possible. Okay. So there are two levers you can control. Watts, amount of power you put out, and to lower your weight. And how do professional cyclists train? They increase their watts. They train 30 hours a week. Training zones. Volume training. Zone 4 and Zone 2 training, constant training and recovery, all in order to increase the amount of wattage they put out. But how about their weight? They do everything to reduce their weight. They watch their calories. They consume enough to fuel the bodies, but they measure everything out. They count their calories so they don't gain weight. And the top cyclists in the Tour de France, they are dialed to perfection. They train, they eat, and they rest. They train, they eat, and they rest. Look at verse 24. Do you not know that all in the race, all runners, or let's say cyclists, they run, but only one receives the prize. So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. You see, for a professional cyclist, all they win, when they win the Tour de France, is a yellow jersey and some cash money. For the Greek athlete, they will win a wreath made of salary. Apparently, it's made of salary. But for us, we receive an imperishable reward, eternal life. And more than eternal life, a whole host of individuals who have been won over by our God-enabled efforts. So that coffee that you invite someone to, the person that you invite for Christian Explored, the courage you had to speak, or the word of encouragement you spoke to someone, the willingness to talk to someone who is not like you, all those things serve them. Verse 24, I discipline my body, keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. See, Paul, he trains his body, he restrains his body for the sake of the wider body. He restrains his body for the sake of the wider body. So Paul says, use your freedom for the salvation of others and do this like an athlete. And again, as we've been thinking this morning, in Christian freedom, we have a lot of freedom. There's immense freedom for the Christian. It's a real joy that God gives us minds to think. He does not treat us like robots. He doesn't program us. He doesn't tell us specifically what to do. He gives us minds to think, to exercise and discern our Christian freedom. But this freedom has a goal. We are made free to serve Him, to worship God. As Israel is taken out of Egypt, out of slavery, to Mount Sinai, they were saved out of slavery to freedom to serve God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Freedom to serve. As well, we were called out of darkness into the fellowship of the Son to serve Him and to love the Lord Jesus. And ultimately, I think it is a privilege and joy to serve others. Verse 23, Paul says, I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share with them in its blessings. The definitive forgiveness of sins. A new life, eternal life, a restored relationship with our Creator. Paul says there will be an imperishable reward. Saints in heaven, eternally grateful for your labor. I will be eternally grateful for my sister, for what she did for me. There's real joy in sharing the blessings of the gospel to others. And so use your freedoms for the sake of others, for the salvation of others. Talk to one another after the service. Try to work out what it looked like in different areas of life, in money, at home, at work, in your time. And my encouragement for all of us today is to perhaps take one small step today. There are many areas in lives, work and family and time and money. Take one small step. Is there one way that you can lay your rights down for the sake of the gospel? I'm going to say a short prayer, and then we'll take a short pause for us to kind of reflect on what we've just heard, and someone will come and lead us in prayer. Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you that He did not count equality with you a thing to be grasped, but He laid Himself down as a servant. And so we do pray, Father, that we might follow in His footsteps today, and we ask for your help in Jesus' name. Amen.